session number 25185, Real 5.
Wilfred Osborne, Real 5. I think you wanted to talk about 1943.
Yes. I rejoined the Sheffield in 1943, and the ship was supposed to be in Scapa Flow. We left Chatham, and it took 2 to 3 days to arrive, and when we eventually got there, we were told that she'd been damaged by a storm, and we would have to be accommodated on the Iron Duke, which was a 1914-18 battleship. We spent 10 days on there waiting, and then we were told that due to her damage that she would be coming down to Greenock. So we were sent from Scapa Flow to Greenock to find out that she still had not arrived, and we were accommodated on an old cattle ship that used to transport cattle between Scotland and Ireland, and all the messes were on the upper deck, and you look down the galleries where the cattle used to be stored or transported. The ship eventually arrived, and we went aboard, and we were told that she would be in dock for 3 months due to all the damage and the wear and tear of the previous years.
What was the damage like?
It was horrendous, really, when you think that the A turret, the roof, had been opened up just like a sardine can, and one couldn't imagine that the water or the waves could do so much damage. This necessitated that the A turret had to be taken out completely, which took us nearly all day, because the turret is like a mushroom, and we had to lift this out very carefully and put it into a cradle so that we didn't damage, and then you could look down into the shell room and the hull of the ship. We eventually finished our refit, went back to Scapa Flow, worked up, and we were then sent to Plymouth, where we were a sort of control ship, because they still thought that the Germans would invade England, and we patrolled the Channel and the Bay of Biscay. We went into dock again because she had boiler trouble, and we eventually came out of there, and then it was then that the attack, we had invaded Italy, and things weren't going too well. So we were ordered full steam to go out to the Med to help the bombardment of Italy. And we travelled 27 knots to Gib, Malta, then up to Salerno, where we were used for bombarding along the Italian coast. We landed an army officer who did the actual spotting, and this was relayed back to the ship. So it was just, we fired the shell, lobbed the shells over, and they caught the convoys and the Germans on the run.
What was your job doing that?
I was then a gun layer in A turret. So the guns were firing, we couldn't see anything because we were inside the turret.
How far offshore were you when?
About 5 or 6 miles, and we just lobbed the shells over and sort of drove the Germans further inland.
How accurate were those shells?
They were very accurate because we had an army spot officer who was doing the spotting, and he could tell it, radio back to the ship where the fall of shot is, and he would just say, up 100 or down 100, left, right, and we sort of got straight onto the target.
How long did that bombardment last?
We were there for about a week, and then we went down to Naples, and then Taranto, and then back to Malta. We went then went to Casablanca as an escort because Churchill and Roosevelt were meeting there to discuss undoubtedly the invasion of France. We were then sent back to England, and we arrived back in England in December, thinking that we were going to spend Christmas at home, but that wasn't to be. We stayed in Plymouth for about a week, and then we were ordered up to back to Scapa Flow. And when you think that a few weeks before we were in warm climates, and then going back to Scapa Flow wasn't very nice. We stayed in Scapa Flow for a while, and then we joined up with the Norfolk and the Belfast, and we were ordered up to Kola Inlet, which is in North Russia. We were then told that the Scharnhorst was going to break out because there was a couple of convoys, one going back to England and one going to Russia, and our job was to protect the convoy. We left Kola Inlet just before Christmas, and we steamed north so many miles, and as we steamed north, the turret just froze up like a refrigerator, and then you always knew when you were coming back south, because it all started to melt, and it was just like rain. You had to wear your oil skins all the time, and the water just sloshed around in the gunwales, and it was a very unpleasant time.
Describe what the turret was like when it was frozen.
Well, if you can just imagine the inside of a fridge, and then the icicles, as you went further north, instead of the condensation dripping, it just froze, and you saw the icicles in front of it hanging from the turret roof, and the side of the turret just froze up, and you just walked around or tried to walk around. There wasn't a lot of room to keep warm, and we were closed up for at least 72 hours. We did get a couple of breaks, but we had all the meals, as they were taken at the turret.
So you had to sleep there as well?
We had to sleep as best we could. I used to sleep right up in the by as close to the gun as I could, curled up. It wasn't very comfortable. And that's how we spent Christmas Day. And then on early Boxing Day, we were told that the Scharnhorst was near, and I think the Sheffield spotted her first, and we opened fire. And
what did you know was happening? Can you remember the sequence of events as you, from your own perspective, not what you know now?
No. We were kept informed by the officer of the turret. This used to come through from either the bridge or the transmitting station, and he was in talking with them. So anything information that came through, he told us as well. So we were kept well informed, and as I said, they sighted the Scharnhorst. The guns were loaded, and we opened fire. It was very dark, but apparently, I mean, we couldn't see it, but they were using tracer shells, so that they could see the shells leaving the guns and hitting the Scharnhorst. We did a certain amount of damage. The Norfolk was hit, and she suffered a few casualties, but luckily we only got a few shrapnel pieces inboard. We lost the contact with the Sharnos, and she sort of evaded us for quite a while. And
well, then, I want it from your point of view. What was it like in the turret?
Well, we just got on with their job, but I mean, all my previous time, I'd always been on the upper deck and could see what was going on. But being closed up in a turret, the feeling wasn't as good as, you know, beforehand. And you wondered, oh, is one of those shells going to hit us? Sort of thing. You always had that in the back of your mind. And to think, you know, you'd be in this turret, would I be able to get out? Because there was only one door. So you always had that in the back of your mind. But primarily, you just got on with what you were supposed to do. We eventually made contact with the Sharnos again, fired some more rounds. Then we were told that the King George, I forget the name, there was a battleship, I can't think of the name offhand, and a cruiser were coming from the opposite direction. And we eventually got her in a pincher move, and we were steaming along at 27 knots, and the weather was awful. It was snowing, and the waves were coming over, but as we were in the turret, we couldn't see all of this. All of a sudden, the ship came to virtually a stop, and it was found that one of the bearings on the propeller shaft had sheared off.
What did you know of that?
We were told that you knew something was up, because at one minute you were steaming along and the vibration of the was there, and then all of a sudden there was nothing. And during that time, they were trying to repair this. I was, as I said, the gun layer, and then they said, oh, there's another ship in the vicinity. And I could see the range on my dial coming down, and it got down to 8,000 yards. The guns were loaded, and the captain of the turret was about to give the order to close the interceptors, and it was turned out to be one of our own destroyers. And I think of all the period during the war, that was my worst moment, because we thought that we were going to run into the Sharnos and we were a sitting duck. They made the repairs, and we got back to 22.5 knots.
How long did that take?
It took about 2 hours for them to repair and make sure that we could go. By then, the Norfolk and the Belfast had steamed ahead, and they were still firing. And they drove the Sharnos onto the battleship and the Jamaica, which was another cruiser. And also, there were two flotillas of destroyers who apparently fired 15 torpedoes, of which most of them were hits. And it wasn't long after there was a great explosion, and we even felt it on the Sheffield, and they said that the Sharnos had sunk.
What was the atmosphere on board at that news?
Well, I wouldn't say one of elation, but we were pleased that we'd, you know, sunk her. But then one thought of all those lives that had been lost, survivors in the icy cold water with no chance. And one thought, well, there for the grace of God, that could have been us. And so we were pleased with what we'd done, but we still thought about the Germans, because after all, they were only doing what they were told, as we were told, be doing what we were told.
Did you go outside and had to?
No, we weren't allowed. It was pitch black anyway, so you you couldn't see a lot anyway, so we didn't see anything of it. I think a lot of, we did steam over where she sunk, and I think there was people on the upper deck, you know, did see something, but we weren't allowed out of the turrets, so no, we didn't see anything. We went back to Kola Inlet and then made our way back to Scapa, where we had our belated Christmas dinner. And
what was that like?
Not very good. It was roast pork. And then we sort of hung around Scapa for a while. We went out on various trips to Norway. We went and escorted a couple of carriers that were trying to keep the Tirpitz in, because she was then the only German ship that was available, and as if we could keep her in, then we had control of the seas. And this is what we continued to do until we heard that they'd invaded France, and the Sheffield wasn't there. We weren't very happy about that, because we thought that with our war record that we should have been one of the ships, but it wasn't to be. And the bench,
where was the Sheffield?
We were in we were up Scapa Flow, and the idea was for us to go out on patrol, because they thought that a lot of the U-boats would try to break out and go down the west coast of England and get into the channel and cause havoc with all the armada that was invading France. So that's what we did until August, when it was announced that the ship was going to America, Boston, for a refit. And most of us were being sent back to Chatham Barracks.
During that latter part of your time in Sheffield, did you see any further action?
No,
was the Sheffield attacked?
No, the only thing that happened to me, I passed and was made a leading seaman, and that as far, really, thinking back, that was the last real thing that I did in the war. And so I left the ship. We went down to Chatham by train all the way from Thurso. We arrived in the barracks, and I went on a gunnery course, and I was passed as an HG.
What does that mean?
Higher gunnery rate. And during that period, I was selected to go across to France for the victory parade in Paris, and we paraded on the Saturday.
Tell me about preparations for that and what that involved.
Well, it was just after Armistice Day, and on the Monday morning, all the HGRs were falling in on the parade at Chatham, and they selected 60 to... we didn't know where we were going. They just said, you're going somewhere and you've got to